glory-filled, my son. Well, what a wonderful, wonderful day. And then we'll have the pastor to come. I mean, let's talk to people, let me say.
A lot of people because it's too dark and they don't go out in the dark. And then the summer evenings is too good of an evening that you get wasted at church. That's a sad outlook in life, that you get wasted an evening at church. I'm going to tell you, anything else you're doing when you could be at prayer meeting is wasting it. That's my honest opinion. How many agrees with that tonight? I believe praying in the house of God, it's never wasted time, praise God. The Lord bless those that's here tonight, and I want to just look at the book of Acts tonight, and I know that I'm sure you have heard me preach in the book of Acts many times, and most of us know most of the things maybe in the book of Acts, but I think it's good to look at it again. And you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, I've shared my testimony in many places. And there's one thing I've found out when you go to certain places and share your testimony, as long as you keep to the script, you'll be back. But there's one thing I've found personally for myself. When I tell about how the Lord visited me in the jail, and about an angel, and how a voice of God spoke to me, there's some places never asked me back. They don't want no supernatural. And you'll see as well, when you read the history in this country about the revival, when you read the revival and you see the certain background you read it from, getting saved's mentioned, but there's no mention of miracles because they don't believe in it. And they will not mention any miracles. But if you get it from a standpoint of a man that's filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll mention the miracles. Because how could you read this Bible and not mention a miracle? You wouldn't have a Bible. When you read the book of Acts, you'll read about miracles. Is that right? Amen. And we want to know about miracles, and we believe in the supernatural power of God. And everybody has different ways of getting saved. And what I mean by that is, I don't mean different ways in the sense of how you call on the Lord. I mean, God might not speak to somebody audibly, and God might not do them things. You come the same way calling on the Lord, but God could send an angel to somebody. God could send a man to stop you in the middle of the street. There's many ways God could do it. You'd come the same way. And we certainly want the supernatural of God, don't we? Praise God. Let us read tonight Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And I love the book of Acts. I could just bring my Bible tonight and read from it through the book of Acts. And I know the Lord would bless his word. I love the book of Acts. I was listening again yesterday in the van. I have a wee machine. I've had it for a long time now. Brother John's one the same. And I was thinking, you know, I want to listen to something. I just put on the book of Acts. I never get tired. Listen to the book of Acts. I even like the way it starts. Former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, that all that Jesus began to do. Do and teach. Yes. Do and teach. So there was action. Amen. Acts 2, verse 17 and 18 of Acts chapter 2. And please remember, our brother Gary's already mentioned it, our brother Andrew Beecham, in prayer this evening. Acts 2, verse 17 and 18. Then we're going to read verse 38 and 39 as well. And it shall come to pass in the last days. And Peter here is quoting from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. And remember, we heard about Peter, how when her brother John brought out, he said something that offended the Lord. But then we saw for the Lord and prayed for him. Now here's the same Peter. And Jesus said, when you're converted, you will strengthen your brother. And here's the same Peter on the day of Pentecost. And he knew that these scriptures spoken by the mouth of David must needs be fulfilled. He was under inspiration of God. And here's verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, amen, that's the women as well as the men, shall prophesy. And your men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. The young men shall see visions, and the old men dream dreams. On all my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Isn't that wonderful? That they will dream dreams and see visions. And you know, how many's ever heard of a woman called Woodard Editor? She saw visions, they called it trances. Even William Branham called it trances back then. That's how they worded it. They fell into a trance. It was a vision, but it's scripture. And Mariah Woodard Editor saw the second coming of the Lord, everything in a vision. Right back, she was born before the 1900, right into that time. And there's been lots of people we never hear about that God has used. Verse 38 of Acts 2. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's bow our heads again tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your mercy and for your grace. And Lord, we ask you this evening that you will come in this room and help us with your word. Bless your people tonight, especially those that came tonight. And Lord, maybe some that couldn't come, that wanted to come. Pray you'll bless them in the name of the Lord and meet every need. And we do ask again for those that need a healing touch. Father, that you'll touch them. Mary and David and others that need your miracle touch in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow, and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. I take the Holy Ghost to help me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, a few weeks ago, my wee lad wasn't too well, and a brother Gary prayed for him, different brothers prayed for him. Wee James, he's 9 years of age. He came in the other night to the bedroom, he came in to me and Sharon the other night, and he says, I want to get saved. And he says, what would happen to me if I died and I wasn't saved? And he says, I want to get saved. 9 years of age. And he asked the Lord to save him in our bed just the other night. He wanted to get saved. We don't know it brought an on him or anything. And you know, when somebody's young, it's hard to know how much they know, how sincere they are. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the way you just take it. Amen. And I believe that tonight. And somebody could, Gary was saved. Four. So James is nine. And I know many testimonies, people saved really young, and the Lord can do it, praise God. So it really was a blessing, you know, and he seemed really sincere about it. And he prayed and asked the Lord to save him and forgive him his sins. He was worried about if he died, 9 years of age, if he died, where would he go? Oh, I would to God that people would bring on others, older ones, the same conviction. Amen. Now the Holy Ghost, let me just go back for a moment. I want to read you something tonight from a message called The Super Sign. But before that, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a supernatural endowment of power sent from heaven to equip the Christian. It's sent from heaven to equip the Christian for effective witness and effective service. That's what the Holy Ghost is sent for. The gifts of the Holy Spirit come from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And many of the early brethren believed in the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For I have the history on them, and that's how I know it. Now they're far from it today, and I'm not here to talk about the brethren or anybody else, but I'm just saying there's lots of groups today that when they originally came out, and the brethren did come out, you know, from the nominal church at that time, they came out from it because it said it was dead and God brought them out. They had the power of God with them. They believed in the power of God. And you know, the early Methodists also believed in the power of God. John Wesley believed in the power of God, and he believed in healing and even the dead been raised. That's what that man believed. And the Holy Spirit comes with power. And I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I want to read a supernatural sign. I want somebody to put their finger on a scripture and show me where he took it out. Where he took it back from the church. It's a super sign to the believer that we pass from death unto life because we feel the Holy Ghost and see it working on our lives and changing us. From what we were to what we are now. Amen. He rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit changes us, transforms us. Now here's another statement. Brother John often refers to this, but this is a tremendous statement from a message called the Palmer Worm, Lucre's Cankerworm, Caterpillar. But wait to hear this. I say this, my beloved people, listen to me. I'll stand with you someday in the judgment, and I'll have to answer for it. I'll never answer to a creed. I'll answer to the Bible. That's the book I stand for. There's no place in the Bible where they ever received the Holy Spirit without having emotions. That's what William Branham said. receiving it without emotion and without sensation and all them different things, that's all right. But here's what he says. There's no place in the Bible where they ever received it without emotion. And I can't find any myself. The book of Acts. If you can find it, I want you to show me it. Now, people refer to Mary, but the Virgin Mary with the Holy Spirit overshadowing her, it's not really the same as you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, really. It's taken out of its context in a way. How many believes that? It's misused it, the scripture for it. Really, because it's not about the baptism, that's about Christ being born. The Holy Spirit overshadowed that holy thing. That's showing that it was absolutely God. But this is the Spirit of God we need coming in our flesh, and it brings emotion. And we need emotion. I believe we need more emotion. I'm going to say tonight we're having enough emotion. Amen. There's a lot of places years ago that said there's too much emotion, but I've never seen it in years. Well, there's too much emotion. I'm sorry. Have you seen it anywhere lately? I haven't. I've seen hardly any emotion at all. People are afraid to clap their hands and praise God nearly. There's no emotion. We need emotion. Speak of a tongue, shouting, praising God, and prophesying manifestation. They never did just walk up and shake hands with any preacher and walk away. There's no place in the Bible they ever did receive it like that, or ever was baptized outside of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There never was no place in all of the Bible where they ever taught the Trinity. There's nowhere for the disciples taught the Trinity. There's not one verse. You'll never hear them talking about the Trinity. Or a triune God. Now there's one God and three offices, and you could say it means three, and I'm not going to fall out over that, I believe that. But they don't talk about a Trinity, and they don't talk about three separate individual persons. They never talk about that. But they talk about one God and three offices, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But it's the one God all the time. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, it's one Lord. Now in Acts 2:4, and I want you to look at Acts 2:4, what happened to the disciples on the day of Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? And I kept listening, and the Bible says they were all gathered together in one accord in one place, and suddenly, hallelujah, that can be unexpectedly, though they were expecting, but suddenly. And verse 4 of Acts 2 says, when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you know, at that time, let me just say it like this. Well, I have it marked here somewhere. Let me give you a bit of history on this. Pentecost happened during the Feast of Weeks, the fourth of four great festivals held annually in Jerusalem after the Passover of unleavened bread of first fruits. Historically, historians tell us that the important events of then attracted over 150,000 people from throughout the known world. They were there from every nation under heaven, united with their faith in God. In Acts 2 verse 5, you read that. It is thought that as many as 120,000 were pilgrims who spoke another language. So there was about 120,000 people passing through that spoke other languages. And when the day of Pentecost has fully come, without any of the apostles having an interpreter, God gave them the language supernaturally. They never went to college for one day. That's the power of God. So that God could let them preach to the people the gospel in the tongue wherein they're born, so that they would understand clearly what was being said to them in their own language. But yet the people preaching it to them never knew their language. They never learned their language, but God supernaturally gave it to them. Amen. Now the believers in Samaria also in Acts 8, verse 12, verse 14 to 17, came to believe in the Lord through Philip's preaching. And I said it on Sunday, Philip preached Christ. Did you ever think you'd ever get criticized for preaching Christ? Well, it happens. All he did was preach Christ. Philip's a real evangelist, isn't he? Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So they were baptized already in water. And they still haven't got the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you one thing, they were candidates for it. They followed the prescription. Now they were going to get what the prescription said. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They followed what the Word of God said. Who when they come down praying for them, verse 16, for yet it has fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you two things about this. The men that prayed for them were filled. And the people that were receiving it were expecting it, and they were ready. I know a man come to preach at a convention years ago, and I was in Scotland. And I was there, it's a long time ago. And they were going to have a praying for the sick on one of the first services, and the boy said he wouldn't be praying for anybody in the first service. And he was asked why not. He said they're not ready for it. They need to go home and get prayed up, then come back again. And the next day he done the same thing. I know a man did it in another place as well, and he never prayed for them for a week. He waited a week, and he preached every night praying, no. And he wouldn't pray for nobody any night till the end of the week. Then he said at the end of the week, he's already not. People got healed. It took a week. Now I know God can do it right away, but people have to be believing. They have to be believing. And the Bible says, how are you going to get faith? Faith cometh by hearing about some other man or a movement. No, hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God brings faith. Now you say the preacher didn't have much faith. Maybe his faith was low, but it wasn't at the end of the week because he prayed and people could heal. What he done worked, but he could say they weren't ready at the start. And he took a week at them. It's like the man preached on repent, and they pulled him into the office because he kept preaching at every service. And they said to him, you know, brother, we've brought you to this church as a pastor, and every sermon you're preached on repent. And you're here a lot of weeks now. And he said, will you not change your tax? And he said, I won't. And that would change them. And they said, why will you not change it? Because he said they need to repent first. And that's the way it was. Joseph Smith, you know what we often refer to, said we need a gallon to bring us up to empty. The light's on. That's what he said. And that must have been what it was like when that fella didn't pray for nobody for a week. Now it mightn't be the case for everybody. But I'll tell you one thing, people that should be at a prayer meeting that's not at it, they're definitely on empty. If they're on the full load, but dying to get to church. I guarantee you people dies to get to our things. I know people won't miss certain things, they'll not miss it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but God has to be first. And if God's not first, he's second. And if God's second, what's first? Well, I'll tell you, whatever it is, you need to get rid of it. And God has to be first. Somebody believes that. Amen. Look how Saul of Tarsus received the Holy Ghost in Acts 9. Let's read Acts 9, verse 10 to 18. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. I like these scriptures with visions and angels. Because when you read the book of Acts, it's common. It's a common thing. But the enemy gave you a testimony today and said, an angel came to you and spoke to you, you had a vision, they'd look at you. You know, it's a bit, you don't need that sort of stuff. You don't really need that sort of thing. We don't really go for that. No, we don't go for it. Did you ever hear that? It's not the truth. But the Bible goes for it. And if the Bible goes for it, I want a good dose of it. Amen. And if it's in the Bible, I want it. And if it's not hot in Something's wrong. It's not in the Word of God. God's Word's not backslid. How many believes that? The Holy Spirit's not backslid. The Holy Spirit's as real as ever He was, and the Bible's as real as ever it was. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into a street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil they have done to the saints of Jerusalem, and there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And you go right down, verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus, that appeared to thee in the way that thou camest. Somebody said, I've come to the Lord and I don't need that anymore. Now I'm deliberately stopping to show you this. A lot of people say, I have come to the Lord and saved and need nothing more. Well, can they do better than Paul here? Paul not only come to the Lord, but the Lord come to him. It wasn't Paul coming to the Lord. A lot of people, and I'm not derived coming to the Lord, you know that. I'm making a point here. The Lord came to Paul on the Damascus Road, and he spoke audibly to him. And he was saved. But yet, why didn't the Lord fill him with the Holy Spirit there and there, and he didn't do it? But he went through this process of whatever words you want to use for it, where he showed him a vision, and he told him where he's going to be in all these different details. Now this man prays for him, and he gets the Holy Ghost. You know why this is in here? For our admiration. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord could have filled him. But the Lord could have filled him. But he didn't fill him then. But he saved him, and he changed him. But he sent him right over to here. In verse 17, Ananias came in, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, thou comest, have sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight. He's blind as well. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Isn't that wonderful? This scripture shows me there's more for us. And when people say, I've met the Lord and I've got saved, and that's it. No, you've only started. Now you need to get the scales of the eyes. Maybe some denominations put scales in the eyes. Well, you need to get the eyes out of the Holy Ghost and get the scales washed out. For there's more for us. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what's the more? Many gets that. That's the Word of God. But people don't want you to tell you there's any more. Well, there's lots more. And when you get that far, there's more again. There's no stopping with God. Amen. Now, we can clearly see the Holy Ghost can be received by laying on hands. Anointed men of God can pray for people. But there's other ways as well. And I've mentioned this before in Acts 10, 44-48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Amen. Verse 46 of Acts 10. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came to Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. God was showing his no respecter of persons. It's wrong to say God used somebody and he couldn't do anybody else like that. That's wrong to say that. You should never say that. If God can't do it again, he's changed. Now, I'm not talking that God could send a man with a specific ministry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking in general. And even a ministry, God can do anything he wants. I'll say that. How many believes that tonight? God can do it. At the least, at the times when people least expect it, God does it. Amen. And look at verse 46 says, for they heard them speak with tongues. Now, when people argue that it's just the language they had at Pentecost in Acts 2, it's just the language, and that's the way it is. It's a language on the hammer that doctrine. So that you're not allowed to use any tongues in church, they'll tell you, because that's the way of it. Well, tell me this here. What language was it here then? Because you don't read here that they preach to them in their own language when they're born nobody. Because these fellas are in a house here. This is a totally different case, but they still spoke in tongues. And then when you study tongues, there's different tongues. Yes. Different tongues. There's the tongue of man, that's your languages. Then there's a tongue of angels. And God can give you a supernatural tongue. And the Bible says, he that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And that word means he recharges or renews himself. That's the battery into the full votes. And she's down on the low, and that brings her right up to the top again. And it'll be no more. I've seen a clip of a fella starting at 135. It was the 35, it was a mossy anyhow. And this boy got a microphone and he could act it. And I don't know how many times he worked at her till he got her going. But your mom was fit to act it. But you ever try and start something and the battery's low? And then it's... That's it. But if the battery is good, as long as no cells leaking, as long as there's no leaking cells. I had an old Mercedes car one time, battery get low on her, and I took her to the fella for a new battery, and he said there's a couple of cells away in her. And we took it out, and I said, as long as that battery been in her, and he said, it's in her from she's made, and I says, it couldn't be, he says, it is. That's a genuine Mercedes battery, and that car was some age, and that was still the original battery. And he put a new one in her, and there was no more, Foof. One turn. Foof. And I tell you, I believe the church will be the same. But no more. Can you praise God? Get them up. Amen. Hallelujah. Charged, renewed. Man, we need charged. We need plugged into the main socket. Hit with the volts from heaven. A full charge of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like it. Like they say over here in this country, it's better felt than tapped. I tell you, God can do it. God's able to do it. Look what he says. Can any man forbid water that he should be baptized? You're joking me. These fellas got the Holy Spirit and they still weren't baptized in water. You can't, you see, you can't take a wee doctrine and build on it. It must run continually with the Word of God. God can fill you with the Holy Spirit without water. And then God might get you baptized and fill you. Yes. But either way, he's going to fill you. That's the thing about it. And I'll say this, if you've never been baptized in water, in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to get to the water straight away. What are you waiting on? That's what I'm saying. Somebody said the disciple on the cross, or the man on the cross, wasn't ever baptized. He never got the chance to. But we can't say that. We're not in the cross. We can get baptized. And I believe we're to get baptized to fulfill Scripture. Water and Spirit. Amen. And the Lord God, when he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed he him to turn. What question did Paul ask the disciples in Ephesus? In Acts 19, verse 2 to 7. And I'm going to close. The time's gone. He said, "Unto them have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed." You know, I heard a testimony of a dear sister one night, and I'm saying a dear sister, and they asked her up to give a testimony in this place. And she told how she met the people of that church, and they befriended her, brothers and sisters. That was wonderful. Then she told how she came into a certain movement. I won't even mention the name, but you can guess it and you're right. And she told all that, but she never once said how she could see it. And I sat there and I thought to myself, this woman's not even saved. But she's been accepted in a group. She's saying she's joined a group. She's saying she's part of the movement. But she never once said how she could see it. She never once said she called in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and could see it. She never once said she realized she was a sinner. Now that's the simplicity of the gospel. But that's the most important part of it. And she never once said any of that. And everybody was amen and glory to God. But the point that she had, that she needed, she didn't have it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe she's saved. I don't believe the woman was saved. Now, I could be wrong. I hope she is saved. I'm not saying in the bad way that I don't believe she is. But her testimony to me didn't say she was saved. Because if you're saved, you've called on the name of the Lord. You've called the name of the Lord. You know, somebody could join a movement and you could put them into the water baptism, they're still not saved. They must call on the name of the Lord. That's the Bible. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. That's the Bible, Joel, Romans, Book of Acts. That's our blueprint. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And he said, if you receive the Holy Ghost, did you believe? And it said, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with water of repentance, the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in him, who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Verse 5 of Acts 19. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Now I will guarantee you, if you had interviewed any of them, there's not one of them would have said to the pastor, Pastor, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit or not. Not one of them would ever have said that. I've went to meetings in the past and I've seen lots of people coming and they say, I don't know if they have the Holy Spirit or not. Well, they must have it. That's as simple as that. If somebody comes and says, I don't know if I have it or not, they mustn't have it. If I threw you into the water and you got out of it, there's no way you'd say to me, I don't think I'm wet. You'd know you're wet, wouldn't you? Well, I'll tell you about that. Now, if I break the ice on it and fire you, then you'll know it. I guarantee you'll know it then. We baptized a boy in Scotland and walked me and Brian Lapp one time. And I thought I was going to die after it. I near froze going in with them to baptize them. I knew I was in water. And I knew it was the ice time. I'm telling you, I knew it. And I'll tell you, if there's a fire lit and you stand close enough to it, you'll not need nobody to ask, tell you, is it a pit or is it a fire? You'll know it. And I'm telling you, there's been so much taught against the book of Acts. That's the truth now. God does not want us to change the way this Bible brings it because somebody has a better revelation than what they claim. They haven't. If they don't say it according to the law and the prophets, there's no light in them. Is that the Bible? And I tell you, this Holy Spirit was real. These men got, and the Holy Ghost come on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12, and I'm going to have to come to close. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now here's my question this evening. I am not making tongues an evidence, and I've been accused of that. That's fair enough. Somebody accuses me of that, I'm not going to make a fuss about it. But I believe in tongues strongly. And I talk in them. And I'm not ashamed of it. I believe in them. And I know when God filled me. And I know what it is. And I've seen things that I can't explain when there's been demons and where tongues has been operated properly under the anointing of God and the yoke's been broke. Amen. I can't fully explain it, but I've seen it happening. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The Holy Spirit's real. But everywhere you read in this book of Acts, there's so many occasions where the spoken tongue prophesied. Is that right? But how come so many people claim to have the same Holy Spirit today and there's no tongues and no prophesying, but they claim to have the Holy Ghost? Someone's wrong. How would the Holy Spirit come and not do something when a prophet of God said there'll be emotion? There will be emotion. Amen. Now you maybe tongues, I'm not saying tongues is the best gift. There's 9 gifts of spirit, but the Paul says covet earnestly the best gift. Do you ever covet someone? You might say I never coveted someone, but I could prove you wrong if you even attempt to say that. Because if you're a young fella and looked at a young woman you wanted to marry her, and you ended up marrying her, well, you got her. You could say you coveted her. Maybe that's not the right way to say it, but You understand what the Bible's saying? You could use another word, but someone you really want. Paul says you're to pray for it. Covet it earnestly. Amen. Don't covet your neighbor. No, it says that, but it does say covet. It's not powerful. There's things we're told not to covet, but we're told to covet this. These gifts. Let's come and pray and covet the gifts. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight for your word. And we know that your word is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. It's the truth. Lord, we covet earnestly the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church. Lord, when we look at this original blueprint on this original church that was a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church, and you were with them, Lord, in a mighty way. And when they prayed in one place, the place was shaken. And when they prayed in another place, souls were at it straight away. And even when they were put in jail, the jail was shaken. And their chains were released and they were let go. Lord, I pray that you'll stretch your arm forth amongst us with that same demonstration of power that we read about in this Bible. That same genuine Holy Spirit baptism. The same power of God. The same evidences. The same emotions. The same transforming power. What we see in this Bible, let it happen, Lord. And deliver men and women, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for everyone that has a testimony and can give a testimony. And for all the wee lads and for James and all the wee lads that's got saved, we thank you, Lord. We pray you'll save others, Lord. You'll save souls. In the name of Jesus Christ, we covet earnestly the souls of men and women. Mothers, fathers, wives, husbands, aunts and uncles, sons and daughters. We pray you will move upon them by the power of the Holy Ghost and deliver them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, we pray. Oh God, cause thy face to shine upon us. Turn us again and we shall be saved. Lord, we bless your name tonight. Bless every brother and every sister in this room tonight. Bless them. Meet every need, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, even for Sunday, for those that you spoke till, I pray the Holy Spirit will continue to move on and speak on and bring great deliverance upon men and women. Put a hunger and thirst within your own people to come to you, Lord Jesus, I pray. Help us to be the men and women you want us to be. Rid us of our own ideas. Rid us of the wood, the hay, the stubble. And fill us with the finest of the wheat and the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Bless us this evening. Help us pray prayers of faith. Prayers of deliverance. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I pray again for our dear sister Candace. Lord, she's put up so many wonderful testimonies and beliefs on healing. I pray you'll utter your word upon her and completely and totally give her deliverance from the power of darkness. Heal her body in Jesus Christ's name. Every part of her. May the power of the Holy Ghost come all over her. May she know it. May she have the emotion and all these things that we've talked about tonight. May the power of God come upon her. Bless Keith. Strengthen him. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Set him on fire. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Heavenly Father, this evening, help us, Lord, to go forward in a lost and dying generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stretch thy arm forth and make it burn with signs and wonders and divers miracles. In the name of thy holy child Jesus, release your anointing and your anointed. Let the gifts of the Holy Ghost manifest. Tongues and prophecies, gifts of healing and working of miracles, and discernments and gifts of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, we covet earnestly after these best gifts tonight. And Lord, we know you're the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And as old Joseph Smith said, when he went for the shoes, the tongues was in them. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Ghost and power that you promised ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Give us that power, we pray, to conquer in this evil day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we ask you for Brother Andrew Beecham as you come, watch over him, protect him from all the enemy. Keep your hand of mercy and grace upon him. Give him a word from heaven. Lord, you know what every one of us need to hear. Speak through him. Use him. Anoint him. Oh God, visit him, I pray. May this weekend be a special time of restoration from the presence of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. A time of visitation. Bless your people. Bless our brother Andrew, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Just let's continue to seek the Lord tonight.